Oh, it is that time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's past.
Boyd did call me. He's not going to be able to make it. He has his personal issues, but he's going to be trying to make it for the board meeting.
Citizens' comments?
Huh?
Any citizens' comments?
No, no, I did not. I was trying to think whether I should make a comment or not when it comes to my, when it comes to my turn. Okay. I was, sorry, thinking aloud maybe, but maybe you guys could have, see what I was thinking of. Okay, go ahead.
Andy Berg.
Here.
John Franco is not here. Boyd Frederick is not here. David Holman is not here. Mark Nordigan.
Here.
Zach Rodriguez.
Here.
For Youth and Governance, Catherine Bogdala.
Here.
And Elizabeth Van Kamen.
Okay. And Gabe Nudo.
I guess I'm here.
Last few months.
Okay. I think Boyd, citizen comments, we don't have any, I guess. And reports from the chairperson. Well, the only report that I have really is next month. Well, first of all, I want to say that Peter Barker called me, and it's going to be a little bit late. He's stuck in traffic, so he's on his way back from Madison. So it should be back. It should be in. It's about 15 minutes late. They called me, but. The other thing is next month.
You were going to say he wasn't coming. It's going to be a very short meeting.
Next month, I believe Samantha Curtin is going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And then in October, that's
the budget.
The budget, so we're not going to have anybody, even though the budget might not be too much involved, you know? Ken?
November, we have Senator
Hayes. November, we have Senator Hayes. We'll see what happens from there. Any reports from the committee? Anyone? Okay. Communications? That's not me either.
No.
Okay. And approval of the July 17 minutes?
Approved. Second.
Okay. Motion by Supervisor or teacher?
Mm-hmm.
And second by Supervisor Rodriguez.
Didn't say spell my name
any
wrong
comments?
Once and right once.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'm sorry, you think government?
Aye.
Okay, now next would be the discussion with Representative Barker. But since it's not here, we're just going to skip that. And we'll go to number 8, and then we'll go back to 7 when it gets here. Okay, I'm going to have a discussion on possible rule changes. Mainly, I believe it's going to be the rule that we have talked about a couple of meetings ago. What happens if there is more than two people running for vice chair, what to do?
Right, and essentially, I guess what I'm thinking this evening is I just need some additional guidance from this committee as to what they would like to see. You may recall I did draft two versions in accordance with the directions I'd gotten from different individuals. One of them specified that regardless of how many people were running, only the top two would move on past the first ballot. The other one indicated that if there were more than three, I guess, that they'd drop off the bottom one each time until there were only two. Somebody pointed out that there is a possibility, certainly mathematically, I don't know how likely it is, but there's at least a mathematical possibility that we could run into a situation where you could have, if you have three people running, second and third, quote-unquote, tie. You could have a situation where you could have a 9-7-7. Although, as Emily has heard me say more than once, I was told there would be no math in this job. but that is possible. And the way it's written, I think out of necessity, is it talks about how only the top two vote getters will move on. Well, obviously that runs into a kink with that possibility. I have been sort of wrinkling my brain trying to figure out how to get around it, and I haven't come up with anything yet. So I guess I need a little bit of inspiration, brainstorming, and/or guidance from the committee as to how they would like me to see how they would like me to proceed in terms of drafting something Otherwise, I mean, we have two things we can put before you, not tonight, but I mean, as described, roll the dice and hope that it never becomes an issue and we're not in a position where someone is looking at me or, God forbid, a successor and saying, what do we do now, you know?
Probably, I don't know if anybody else wants to say anything else, but what I was thinking is that if there is a tie, let's say for second and third in this case, where the top one will go on and the other two will just kind of run off. So just to kind of done, trying to cut as many corners as we can. So that would be probably a possibility. Because by keeping all three in there again, well, it can change anything and that might be.
So your suggestion would be that if it's a situation where no matter how many people are running, two and three...
Or four, whatever it is.
Well,
you know,
if there was three, a tie, four, if, one, if they tied, they would have dropped off if
right,
had one. If so it's really a situation of two and three tying.
And obviously, the more people running, the probably even the less likely it becomes mathematically that we're going to run into the situation.
Two and three are tying.
Okay, so you're suggesting that I indicate that in the event that there is a down ballot tie, that those people would run off to see who proceeds on to the next ballot.
That would probably be.
I look forward to the evening when we're voting to see who gets to move on to the second ballot with the top vote getter.
Like the one game playoff in the baseball, you know, if the wild cards get to see who gets to go against the top one. But I thought what we were looking at doing is not making something hard and fast until we get to that situation. And when we get three or more, then we say, okay, we want to exercise this rule before the vote. Can we still go and do that, or are we making this hard and fast?
Well, okay, the way I look at it is we can do one of two things with sort of a third, I guess, slightly nebulous option in there as well. We, as I once learned in a training course, doing nothing is always an option. We can leave the rules the way they are, in which it simply indicates that you vote until somebody... until there's a majority. Hold on to that one for a second. We could amend the rules and write into the rules exactly what the procedure is going to be. And again, the challenge there is trying to, in theory, make sure you've covered all the different scenarios. But I mean, that's option number two. Option number three is sort of, there may be some. Option number three is we leave the rules the way they are at the point in time when we're actually doing elections and we discover that we have more than three candidates. We set rules for that particular election.
Could we wait until after that initial vote, find out we have a tie, then say, okay, if this happens again, we're going to exercise this rule, because we may not get a tie.
Sure. I think you would have to set the rules for the election prior to the vote starting.
That's fair enough. Yeah. I just
Which, I mean, and I understand where you're coming from, no, I think we would have to, I don't think it would be appropriate to change rules midstream, even if it was because, you know, we didn't know if we were going to have to do them or not. I think we'd have to. In theory, and again, I mean, you know, from a rule standpoint, it obviously, I think the intent of the individuals who suggested a possible change in the rules was designed to move things along.
Yeah.
There's nothing that says you couldn't say if after a third ballot, no single candidate has gained a majority
then
of the votes, then this kicks
place.
In, you know, the sudden death rule.
The sudden death rule, which includes the tie rule, yeah.
Three people enter a room, one leaves. actually, with this group, it would be three people enter a room, three also leave the room. So, like I said, I don't want to say that the possibilities are endless, but I mean there isn't necessarily a right way to do this. Like I say, the from a purely theoretical standpoint, in the abstract, I think Roberts frowns on arbitrary rules that cut things off because The idea is that the person who comes in third on the first ballot may wind up being the consensus choice after the fourth. Obviously, working only off of the one example that we're all dealing with from a couple of months ago, there wasn't a lot of movement from ballot to ballot. I don't know whether that would have changed at any point or not. You know, as we approached midnight, maybe people would have started to shift in their positions. But you're right. It was a horrifying thought. I'm sorry.
You can pick it up. Don't let it sit there. Pick it up.
Okay. When he was done dogging.
It's fine, really.
Which, by the way, that was Peter just text me. It should be is on 52nd and
29th. Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry, it's close.
So in any event, but, I mean, that's the thought process behind it. You know, you shouldn't arbitrarily cut somebody off because at some point, like I say, if you have factions on whatever body it is that you're dealing with that are fairly polarized, they may eventually, you know, meet in the middle on a different candidate. Again, there's nothing that says we have to do that. I mean, it discourages it, but it says, you know, in the absence of a local rule or bylaw, this is how you should do it.
So could we put that sudden death, if you will, whatever you want to call it, action, have it laid out to what it is that we would do, and just it have to be voted on at a time, whether it's the first time or after the sixth time or whatever. It could just arbitrarily then be voted on, where we have to say after two votes, after three votes, or, you know, 15 votes, whatever the case. So, I mean, now I know that you don't want to say it up front as to where it's going to go, or just say we're not going to do it at all, and again, seven votes.
If I'm understanding your question correctly, and I'm going to repeat it because I want to make sure that I'm understanding what you're asking. What I'm hearing is you want to know, could we write, and again, it's a terrible phrase for it, but I'm going to keep on using it because it's going to stick. Could we write a sudden death rule in, but indicate that it essentially would not be invoked
after the third vote or after?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think we absolutely could say
any
that.
Any time afterwards, it doesn't have to be the fourth vote or the fifth vote, but we want to make sure we get enough voting in to
like 15.
Well, whenever we get tired of saying, "Hey, I think we ought to act sudden death rule," and get second moved, and we, you know, vote on it at that point.
That's an intriguing notion. I would have to think about. I can certainly tell you I don't think I would have any problem drafting something that says that, you know, after the third, after the fourth, after the fifth, whatever the number is, you know, then this is what we're going to do. I would have to think about whether having a procedure in there, but sort of saying it can be invoked by a majority of the board. Basically, what you're kind of looking for is something is an elections version of the ending debate. Basically, right? I mean, I'm grossly simplifying it, but that's essentially what you're looking for.
Right.
That's an interesting idea, and I'd have to go back and explore. It's not something I've heard of. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist or can't be done. I would just have to look at it and see whether that's something that that would be considered. I mean, if everyone goes into it knowing that at some point a majority or a supermajority of the board could invoke it, I'm going to give you a definite maybe, as lawyers are
yes.
typically do. So.
Yeah, because you guys aren't perfect. You practice. You don't know them all. You have to practice it.
I always tell people one of my favorite lawyer jokes is the one that the law school president who looks out over the graduates and says, 3 years ago, when you enrolled in this institution, we would present you with a complex legal question, and you would say, with all honesty, I don't know. And now, after 3 years of rigorous study, we can present you that same complicated legal question, and you will say, with absolute assurance, it depends.
Yeah.
Maybe another way to do it, and that would really cut maybe dang, by just doing it first vote, top vote gets it. And that's it. It's done. It's over. Unless, of course, it's a tie for the top four, and then they will go.
And those two would run off.
Those two will run off. Otherwise, it's just done on the first, and that's it. That way, we'll stop a lot of game playing, too.
I don't know. I'm open to keep voting.
Yeah. I don't have a problem keep voting, either.
I don't think we should change the rules. That's my opinion.
I'm sorry?
I don't think we should change the rules. That's just my opinion. I mean, if the time comes, we notice we've got 3-4 people running, then you say, all right, you know, for this time, let's adapt these rules.
I don't think it's going to work just by doing it then, right? Because it's going to be almost impossible to get anybody.
I mean, government isn't new to the U.S., and we've had situations on the federal side that's taken hours. You know, is that going to be the case on a county board side? We're next to the bottom of the barrel. I don't know. It takes us till midnight, so we go out for drinks afterwards.
Okay.
Except youth and government, they got to go home before midnight.
I mean, it's a great conversation. I still need some direction as to what sure. people want me to draft, if anything. You know, we have, I mean, the very first proposal that got put down in writing came from, or sponsored by Supervisor Gentz, who literally, I think, talked to me the day or 2 days after the election. Our conversation wasn't much later than that. I mean, within a couple right. of days, you'd both contacted me
yes.
about this. So, I mean, those are the two that I put together. I'm happy to put together other ones. I'm happy to, you know, we can put these on next month and allow for amendment on the fly with a freewheeling conversation. It's the committee's determination how they want to proceed. It's just I've been looking at this and I just felt I needed a little bit more guidance in terms of, you know, the problem that came up the last time we talked about it is not one that I felt I could solve on my own, because there wasn't an easy answer without some mm-hmm. direction from a policy standpoint. So.
Well, the other thing that we can do maybe is, I don't know if you guys have any other suggestions or doing. We can just go on doing a resolution like we had before and just vote it and send it to the full county board one way or the other and see what happens.
Are you talking about the two different ones then? Or the three, and that's not do nothing?
I believe we should just send one to the county board.
Well, didn't we already vote down two?
We've never voted.
No, we've
discussed them, but we haven't
maybe
voted.
Maybe what
on.
We okay. do is we'll let those two come back. If we don't have any other suggestion, we'll let those two come back to the committee here, the way they were, and we'll pick one. You know, we'll vote on which one to send to the full county board, and they'll decide there.
I mean, I think you can bring any to the committee here. Whether or not if it passes, it passes. If it doesn't, that's obviously I'm moving forward.
Right.
Coming to a collective yay, I think, is the question at hand, because I think there's some that wanted to the lowest drop off in each round,
sure.
the top two stay for each round. I think it's pretty even in terms of the three different versions. Leave it alone, top two, bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for the four out of the seven of us that are here now, I would say just leave it alone for right now. That's my take.
Well, the only thing is on that, and I would be okay with that too, don't get me wrong. But don't forget that Supervisor Gens is one that mm-hmm. wanted to do the resolution.
Yeah.
So unless we come up with something, I'm sure he's going to push it and say, well, let's do it this way, and then we'll bring mm-hmm. it in.
Go ahead and let him push it in, you know. I mean,
that way too. So.
Like I said, I mean, I certainly from a staff standpoint, I don't have a problem with putting this on for next month. The two resolutions can be back on the agenda. They can be voted up, down, amended. They wouldn't be before the board. Anything that passed wouldn't be before the board until October. So if there were changes made, there'd be time to get them typed up. So that we're, you know, we can present whatever the amended language is to the board. It's, you know.
So we do it that way and see what happens? Or?
Yeah, I would think that, I don't have a problem with the way we're doing it. I don't have a problem bringing it up and voting on it.
So between, in addition to the two proposals that you've seen before, is there anything else you want me to bring, or are we just going to look at the two and go from there?
I believe we just look at the two, unless any of you guys got something different that want to
know. Other than maybe adding some language about what we would do if there was a tie.
If there's a tie, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And then what we'll do is we'll discuss the vaccinating here.
Okay.
From there is, you know, what happens at that.
Okay.
Okay. So it's, that's pretty much. Do you girls want to say anything on that?
No.
Since we're pretty much on a tire, maybe you can help us what we should do, you know?
Okay. I'm sure they didn't tell you it was going to get so exciting that you were going to be talking about election procedure. So, otherwise, everyone would have wanted to be on the committee.
Yeah, how to vote in case, in case, in case, and in case.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I know Peter said it should be here in 2 minutes, and that was about 3 minutes ago.
Starts when he gets here.
Yeah. Okay. I believe we were talking about something else. Oh, I can hear him now coming.
Very calm.
Oh, okay. So I guess we
you can hear him.
Hi there. How y'all doing? Nice to see you. Hi. How y'all doing? Good to see you all.
Thanks. The German.
How are you doing?
Good to see you. Hi, how are you? Good to see you all. Yep.
Hi, nice to see you. Yep. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi, Andy. How are
you? You are again.
Nice to see you. Thanks.
Okay, well, thank you for coming.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, I'm a little late coming in, but good to be with you all. I was with the Polish American Congress at our state capitol. We had a little bit delayed with their governor coming in, and we're supposed to meet with them. Well, we met with them here, and they want us to go to Poland. The Speaker of the Assembly, Robert Voss, appointed me as a co-chair of this International Commerce Committee. So, pretty interesting. They're really opening up opportunities and, you know, wanting to try and expand commerce between Poland and the United States. Obviously, there's some real, you know, deep connections between the Polish people and people in this region. Chicago, in fact, I guess, has the largest concentration of Polish people in the country.
Outside of Warsaw.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
And they have furniture.
Yeah, great furniture, is that right? Okay.
And after, I just love the food because after 2 or 3 days, you're hungry again.
So. Oh, you've been there?
Polish
food. Oh, okay, yeah, Polish food there, yes, exactly.
Okay, well, good. Then I guess since Representative Bark is here, so he can talk to us, he's got a couple topics to pick. So what we're going to do is we'll let him talk.
Great.
Maybe for about 2 minutes, what do you guys think? Joking. So I'll let him talk on that, and if you have any questions, I guess we can wait till the end, or
sure.
Just and then we'll try to do it like taking insurance or whatever.
Sure. Well, if you want, I can go topic by topic. We can talk about a topic, have a little exchange, go to the next topic. The first one I want to talk about, which I know is one that the county board has taken a real leadership role on, and I appreciate your efforts and initiative, and that's the dark store initiative. Very, very disturbing to me that we could not get that bill up for a vote. When we went into the last month of session, I noted that we were two people short in the Assembly and the Senate from having a majority as co-sponsors of the bill. So I talked to Senator Tim Carpenter, Senator LaTanya Johnson, they both agreed to co-sponsor it, brought it up to two other colleagues, which gave us a majority in both houses with a month left. So obviously if you had a vote, it would pass, right? Because if you have many people don't vote against things they co-sponsor, but we couldn't get a vote up. And this is something that's just vitally important to Kenosha County. Pleasant Prairie, Rocco Vitae, who is their assessor, did a very detailed study and found that their property taxes, when this is fully implemented, on average, could go up by over $750 a year on the average residential homeowner. And it's just outrageous, quite frankly. The idea that people should pay, and what the issue is that these big box retailers in particular have gone to court, and they've gotten courts to side with them to say they should pay property taxes for their big, beautiful new stores at the same rate as they pay for a boarded up store. And I don't have a problem with that when my constituents for their homeowners can pay the same taxes as a boarded up house. But obviously that's not going to happen. So there needs to be equity. There's absolutely no reason under God's green earth that we should be subsidizing big box stores. And So I know the county board's passed a resolution. I appreciate that very much. You know, they formed a study committee, and it doesn't need study. We have a majority that support the bill. They should pass the bill. I don't mind studying it, but it just delays it, and it just adds to the cost, you know, in the meantime, that people are paying. And already, I know in talking with local officials, whether it be the mayor, the village president over at Summers, George Stoner, or in my Racine part of my district, the village administrator for Mount Pleasant or Elmwood Park, every one of them feel the exact same way. In fact, I testified in the Assembly and the Senate that I was representing every single municipality in my district because they all unanimously believe that we need to change this. So anyway, there's now a study committee. We tried to get George Stoner on the commission. He can be a real bulldog on these things. We weren't able to do that, but we were able to get Rocco Vitti on. He was very knowledgeable, so that's a really big plus. And overall, I think we've got pretty good representation on there. My concern is that I believe there'll be an effort to water it down so that maybe we won't get, you know, we'll get a half a loaf, but maybe they'll pay for, you know, a half of what they should like pay or something. But I can't say that for sure. You know, you never know. Maybe they'll recognize what we all recognize, which is that this change is needed. So that's the first thing I thought I'd bring up. And if you have any questions or thoughts, ideas, we can take those now, if that's okay with you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Then we can move on to the next
anybody,
topic.
Any questions on this?
Well, I think it's relevant of what you said, that if big box stores are able to do that, well, then why can't I, the same as a homeowner, be able to do that for a boarded up house that's on my block or down the street?
Right.
I mean, is that not apples to apples?
Mm-hmm. You
know, at that point,
right?
So I don't know, maybe an amendment to everything, if they want to water anything down, that's something that can come to mind.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
I was chairman of the Board of Review in a town of Randall, so I know Rocco will be there very well.
Mm-hmm.
And when they present a property that's being challenged, commercial property or even just regular home,
mm-hmm.
the onus is on the homeowner or property owner, whatever it is, to show why their number is correct and why the assessor's is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
They have to prove the assessor's is incorrect.
Hmm.
That would be the way to go about doing it. And if they're using, and you're, like I say, you can't use, the assessor will not use foreclosed homes, homes that were reals, you know, bank-owned. This mm-hmm. must be an arm's reach deal. And therefore, they'll throw out anything and say, well, no, your value is up here because we don't consider that.
Right, right.
And it's only fair that that's the way it works across the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, I'm a pro-business
guy.
Very
good point.
But it has to be the same because it's just the way that the only way to look at it. And unfortunately, a lot of these stores aren't owned by the big box owners.
Right.
They aren't owned by the Home Depots and the Walgreens. They're owned by private people who went out and bought it and leased it back, and they took the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? You took the risk.
Right.
So, you know, let's look at it that way and say, well, if that store's empty and you got no one in it, and this store now, you just built this store, now you're going to sell it to another guy, and you're going to sell it. Perfectly good example is Vail. When they bought Wilmot, they came in, they didn't like the fact that we increased their value by about $6 million. Well, you bragged how you spent $33 million on it. So, you know,
yeah,
let's do it right.
Right, good
and,
point.
And
well
I
stated.
I just don't think that that this dark store, you know, I have no idea why it didn't go any further. It should have. But
yeah,
it should. I'll just keep fighting it.
Even limit, if they're going to take that decrease in value for tax purposes, give them a limit of what they're able to sell it for. You know, I mean, somehow counter
that. I don't know if you can do that, because the market's going to drive that, but they took
right.
away the personal property tax out of it. So now, like for instance in Randall, we lost $8.5 million on a personal property tax, just being refunded through the state, but they got an $8 million value drop.
Right.
You know, so they did get a drop.
They already got a bonus. Yeah,
yeah. They got a bonus already. So.
Right. And the question becomes that for Randall, for any other municipality for that means, part I'd be concerned about is whether or not it'll continue to be fully reimbursed by the state.
Right. Yeah.
That's a
that's
real
true.
Legitimate
that's
concern.
That would be a concern. Yeah. But
So it's something I'll be watching.
Like Mattel closing down. You know, it's closed down. Supposedly it was bought. I haven't seen that come through yet. There's going to be an empty store there. Mm-hmm. So
right.
And all their inside stuff basically is no longer being personal property tax. So what's going to be put up that's going to be compared to, you know, now that that's empty? So I don't know. But if somebody bought it, that will keep the values up.
Right, right, exactly.
Do you expect that to come to a vote soon or?
Well, I mean, the study committee will probably finish their work in October, November. And, you know, the goal would be to bring it up in January right away.
That's what our resolution called for, didn't it?
Hopefully that'll happen.
Yeah. Does the speaker and the majority leader in the Senate, do they support it?
Well, obviously they didn't support it enough to bring it up for a vote. So, you know,
so then they weren't
at the end of the day
sponsors on it.
That's who makes the decision. Yeah. I don't know if they're actually co-sponsors. I don't believe. I'm almost certain they're not. You can look it up pretty easily there, but I don't believe they were co-sponsors of the measure.
Has the governor addressed the issue at all?
The governor has indicated some support for it. I don't know what that means exactly. I think it'll be an issue in this governor's race, though. I would predict that will be and it should be. You know, because the question becomes, you can say, well, if it reaches my desk, I'll support it, which is good. You know, that's a real plus. But what I would say is, why don't you put it in your budget then? You know, if you're a big supporter, what I would ask is, will you put in your budget? So if you see the governor, that's what I would ask him.
But how would you put that in the budget? Because either the homeowners are going to pay it or the business owners are going to pay it. I mean, it's the money. It's coming out of this pocket or that pocket, right?
No, but I mean, what you would do is you would just take the language in the bill, which so often happens. And generally speaking, I'll tell you, I generally don't think you should put policy in a budget, but they do anyway. They're going to. So if you're going to, you could just take this bill, put it in the budget as a change. And that's the surest way it'll get passed because, you know, what goes into a governor's budget, 80% of it ends up staying there. Maybe more, maybe 90. So you got a better chance of that. You know, the other issue is to say, you know, if you want to ask the governor or Tony Evers, obviously he's running against him, you ask him both the same questions. Say, well, if you're not willing to put in your budget, would you be willing to call a special session? Because if you call a special session in January, you know, chances are, you know, the vast majority of bills called in a special session pass. That's another way you could address it. So either one would work.
You know, I guess what's a little disheartening is in November I spoke with Senator Leah Vukmir, and she said in front of a group of us that the Senate Majority Fitzgerald was going to bring it to the floor within a year, which would be January. And we're sitting, you know, 9 months later.
Right. You know, the funny part, the irony is, they almost attached it to my bill. I had a bill that was coming up dealing with entrepreneurship and to try to have paid internships from our colleges to have more of a public-private partnership. And so, you know, Robin told me, I think we're going to attack it on your bill. But of course, you know, I had mixed feelings because I'm one of the spectrum. That made it less likely my bill to pass. On the other end of the spectrum, well, you know, this is such an important issue that whatever it takes. It was final. I told him, look, whatever it takes. It's the only way we can pass it. Put it on. Let's try it. But my bill passed, but they didn't put it on. So now another issue I thought we could talk about is one more positive development that Kenosha County's undertaken. And it's related to a bill I had put forward back, you know, going back 8 years ago. And it came out of the UW, and that has to do with, you know, your alternative sentencing program for opioids. You know, you put in a program in conjunction with the district attorney and the sheriff, law enforcement, and it's an excellent program. The idea is that, you know, is that before you even bring a person up for sentencing, if they agree to go into this alternative pharmacological program where they'll get naltrexone or what's the other name they use for it?
Vivitrol.
And they're basically the same protocol. If you submit to this and you're successful and you don't repeat, then you won't have anything on your record. It's a great idea. I brought this forward. It came out of the UW. There was research done through the Veterans Administration. they found, and this was for alcohol back then, that's before the opioid crisis hit, and it's equally as effective for alcohol abuse or for opioids. And the VA, with some very intractable type cases, they had a 70% success rate of people not relapsing into drinking again. And so we had brought it forward, and fortunately, I think I got it out of committee, but I couldn't get it up for a vote. And we tried in the budget process. I was able to get a good bipartisan group with Senator Van Wongard, Speaker Robin Voss, of course our local people, Bob Wirtz, Todd Onsen, myself, over to professional services group, where the DA came in, Jim Cruiser came in, they did a presentation, they all liked it. We agreed we'd bring forward a budget amendment. So Van Wongard had drafted something, but he wasn't able, he said his leadership wouldn't let him bring it up. So unfortunately, but we're gonna try that again, because I'd like to see us be able to redouble our efforts, because right now you're using all county taxpayer money, which I think is still a good idea, because, you know, in the long run you save money by, you know, if you can curb people's substance abuse problems, that'll save more money in the long run. But I'd like to be able to have matching funds available for counties that want to undertake this. So that's another initiative that I intend to push very hard for, you know, come January.
So is this for, so currently right now what we have our Vivitrol program for is those new to opioids.
Right.
And those that are about to go into prison.
Right.
What about, does this program include everybody in between? Because I know that was brought on the board floor before, is that we're helping these folks out, we're helping these folks out, but we have very low risk between those two versus everybody in the center. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is this program that you're talking about include everybody in the center on that?
Well, what my personal thought is I would leave it up to each county to design their own program. But as long as they put forward a program that, you know, had support of, you know, law enforcement, you know, DA, and, you know, that they could apply for matching funds.
Okay.
So that's the way I would do it, to allow for more local control. And, you know, each county might have a different approach. You know, I mean, what works in Kenosha maybe wouldn't work as well in Crawford County. So I'd like to allow local governments to, you know, design their own program, and, you know, as long as they meet certain standards. So that's my intent. Now, my initial bill that I had 8 years ago that came out of the UW, that was for alcohol, and that had to do with, again, alternative sentencing, that it still would have been for local control, allowing, you know, the DA, if they wanted to utilize it, they could have. And it would allow it for anybody, for that matter. So we'll take a look at this. Yeah, I'm going to work with, you know, the DA here, or the sheriff, and, you know, work with, you know, Racine County too, work with them as well, and try and come up with a design that allows for that flexibility, though.
But that one couldn't get up for a vote, the one for the alcohol.
No, it did not. No, so this will be designed.
Look at the results of what we have.
Right.
With these drunk drivings, multiples, and all this other stuff. Maybe it's a good time to bring it up again along with it.
Right. Well, and I think I haven't made a final decision. I'm open to your ideas and thoughts here, too. I mean, I thought maybe I'd try and bring forward two different bills, one for opioids, one for alcohol, because, you know, I may not, you know, there may be support for one and not the other. You never know. I think we have a better chance of opioids, quite frankly.
Well,
although alcohol abuse is an equally serious problem. So, you know, I'm for both, and I could do, maybe I'd do a third with both. I don't know. I mean, but I just want to, you know, whatever we can do. For me personally, though, you know, I've seen the toll it takes on families.
Sure.
Both, you know, for opioids, we have 6 families just amongst people we know personally whose kids have died out of opioids. But I also know family members whose kids have died in drunk driving crashes too. And they're equally serious, and it takes a tremendous toll on a family. And so, you know, I think that, you know, personally, I would do it for both if I could get them both passed, because I know it's gonna not only save lives, it's gonna save money over the long term.
Absolutely.
Well, coming from the Department of Corrections, here in Kenosha, we have quite a few gentlemen that are in there for alcohol, multiple DUIs mm-hmm. or alcohol right. offenses. So, you know, I guess to be able to push, to be able to make one pass versus none pass, I think it's probably better to substantiate the difference between the two. But I think, they're, like you both said, they're both equally important. Whether or not they're going to pass, I guess, is a question at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have numbers from around the state about drinking and driving? I mean, I know it's bad here.
Yeah, I don't know. I
Kenosha, we're seeing it with counties, ridiculous bad. You'll read in the paper on the weekend. Fourth or fifth. Fifth or sixth. They don't even know how many they have.
Oh, we
that but, doesn't count.
But you read the paper and you got guys that are you got guys that are getting caught up in all over the state at 12 or 13.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know, because if it's bad all over the state, and it's bad all over the state for opioids, we know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, most people don't make it to 12 or 13 on opioids, you know?
No, yeah. Usually you get one chance at that, mm-hmm. yeah. But, you know, we're looking at preventive measures, preventing them from doing it in the future. And that's what we have to look at.
Right.
The young ladies here probably have a little bit of input from the high school side of things with, okay, let me put it this way. When I was going to high school,
they don't look like they don't look like that.
That's like 15 years ago, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah. And again, my kids, and my last one just graduated, they were like, oh, yeah, it's all over the place.
Uh-huh.
Drugs are all over, whatever you want.
Sure.
It's, you know, the same. But, you know, what kind of education. I'm not saying that high school is a bad job, but why should they have to even teach that, obviously? But it comes from society, you know, coming through and all that. But my gosh, it's got to be something you guys are experiencing right now.
It is all over. It's the amount of things that I've heard of people and how they get it, and alcohol and drugs, it's... I mean, it's not through the school, but it is, they're finding it, mm-hmm. and they're getting it from people, and it's just...
Opioids through there?
Yeah, and it's just the amount of things that they can get from other people in this society are just, I mean, it's crazy how they get a hold of it and how they deal with it, but it is, it's not good, the
would
amount
that they're
having.
Would you say it's easy to get? Would you go as far as saying it's easy?
I would say it's easy to get, yeah.
23 years ago, when I was in high school... They would have parties. They'd put pills in a bowl, big bowl, mix them up, and you come and you pick a handful of pills. And you...
Yeah, I've
really,
not,
what
I haven't
did
seen
it do
that.
You?
It depends on what drug, what pill you grab.
Personally, what did it do you?
It didn't do anything for me. I wasn't involved in those parties.
Well,
but
I used long course. Well, I graduated 40
wow,
years
that's
ago.
That's scary.
And I went to all Catholic schools, and I can tell you they had the best drugs because that's mm-hmm. where the money was. It isn't at any particular level. It's
yeah,
at all
it's
levels.
Right. That's true.
Period. Mm-hmm. All levels. So, I mean, you can't just focus in and say, oh, it's the inner cities. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's out in Wilmot, I'm sure. It's at, you know, Lake Geneva. And a lot of money at Lake Geneva. You know, it's where people will go to buy it. It's a mm-hmm. supply and demand.
Ago?
I graduated 40 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Went to my high school reunion, and I crashed two others. So. All the public school ones I crashed. So.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, good discussion. Very important. Another issue that you're probably all aware of, and I'm sure you followed it, and you know there's going to be pretty significant implications over the long term, and that's with the closing of the Lincoln Hills Correctional mm-hmm. Facility. You know, as you know, there's a study committee that's been put together now, but in the next 3 years, the plan is to open up some of these regional facilities. Now, I know Racine has expressed an interest in creating one. So the idea would be to have, you know, the closer to their families, have the families be more involved with them. Also, I think that there's data to show that it's more successful when it's more closer to community base versus one state facility. Plus, in this case, four and a half hours away, just transportation costs alone to pay deputies that have to drive people that far, very expensive. So it's something that I, you know, personally I strongly supported, but we have a lot of work to do over the next couple of years, so I really want to encourage the county board, you know, to analyze this closely, to, you know, look at what you believe would be in the best interest for Kenosha County. I think it would be also good in this case, you may want to have some sort of a joint meeting with Racine County,
that is
because especially since you're thinking about creating one there, to think of what the implications would be for us.
It is just not really a discussion at this point. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to set up something, maybe together with Racine and somebody else, whatever, involved,
right.
And talk about it to see what... but according to... I talked to a couple of people about it, and they say that if this comes out with the works, it's really going to cost less money for the county to do it.
It should cost less. Yeah, I mean, you should be able to save money over time.
Smaller facilities.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, what's that?
Smaller facilities, more hands-on
right.
processing.
That's a good way to characterize it.
To get these kids out of there.
Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, we're fortunate here in Kenosha County because I know we have a lot of very innovative programs for keeping kids out of correctional facilities. And, of course, that's part of the key is early intervention. You know, work with kids when they first get into trouble. I started my career working with the most undisturbed kids. So I worked very closely in a special day treatment, you know, facility for severely disturbed, you know, young people. And early intervention is vital. And so hopefully this will make a difference. But, you know, there's a couple years here now where we're going to come forward with recommendations. This is the time, I think, for... You know, for all of you as, you know, local policymakers to look at this, make sure that we're aware of, you know, any ideas that you have that might positively impact on this legislation and ways that we can make it be the most effective for serving, you know, our young people down in the Kenosha Racine area. Any thoughts you have for, you know, in terms of just something you come across at all in the high school level?
I don't think it's that. I mean, I don't see as much of that as, I mean, it's fair. It's, I don't think it's that high from what I see, from my perspective at least.
My school, I go to Eustachia Central out in the county, so it's a little bit different. It's not super big, but it's not super small, and a lot of it is farm kids, so we don't, like, drugs, like, you hear about them, but not to the extent that, like, my mom teaches with Kenosha Unified, so not to the extent that I hear about in Unified, and alcohol is the other thing there, as you were talking about, but other than that, there isn't a whole lot of, like, criminal activity.
Okay. Very good. Well, good. Well, any other thoughts or questions? If you would like, I'll leave this with you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank
this
you.
Is a description of Act 185, and it talks about the changes. Maybe you want to give it to your committee, and but there's a copy of it so that you can start to, you know, dissect this and analyze the implications. And like I said, if you have any interest in, you know, coordinating with Racine County, I think it would be useful. I'd be happy to reach out as well.
Yeah,
I'll meet with one of the Racine County supervisors next week.
If we do that.
Yeah, definitely. It would
discussion.
Be.
Because I'm talking, again, there is a discussion just starting to get something together.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about it. So
yeah.
If I do that,
good.
Sure.
Good. But I have two more issues. One that I know, I think you talked in your last meeting, and I think you guys have a resolution on the medical marijuana. I don't know. Is that,
actually,
is that coming
tonight?
Oh, tonight for the full county
for
board?
The full county.
Correct. Oh, okay. Now, ironically, on my drive back, I talked to a woman that is a nurse who's in the studying now to become a nurse practitioner. And I had a very detailed conversation. As part of her graduate school program, she had to talk to a legislator. And she said before she started studying this, she had some reservations. And as she analyzed it, she said, you know, for people with Parkinson's, with severe kinds of... you know, cancer, she's an oncology nurse. She said it can be very, you know, useful. Now, of course, part of it is how tight you draft it. I mean, if you draft it so, you know, so it's very broad, you can get a prescription for a stubbed toe, well, that's too broad, in my judgment. On the other end of the spectrum, for people that do have serious medical problems, that's something that's well worth, you know, looking at. But anyway, it's something that, you know, I know a number of counties have looked at bringing this forward on a ballot initiative. City of Racine has it on. And I think it's good to, I think generally speaking on issues like this, it's It's good to go to the public, get their viewpoint. It's something that's being actively debated. I know all the states surrounding us do allow for medical marijuana, and it's a little bit different from some versus the others. You know, we did pass the, I think it's called CBD oil, I don't know if I got the right acronym, but, you know, and there you had a couple situations where family members with kids with epilepsy came up, and, you know, I'm glad we were able to finally get that through, and the governor did sign that into law.
Well, how's that working now? I mean, that was signed in April of last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're just over a year in. I mean,
well, there was a problem with it. You could have it, but you couldn't make it, and you couldn't bring it into the state.
Right,
so
right.
How could you get it? So they had to update it and change it to where you could, bring it in.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yep, that's exactly right.
Well, that was the first version.
Right.
The version that they passed.
That's what passed. Yeah. And actually, the Attorney General Schimmel was... you know, reading it in a very restrictive manner. But now I think they've worked through those glitches to allow people to bring it in if it meets certain specifications.
Right. Well, it was my understanding that there's two versions of it. The first version passed, you had those issues. And then in April of 2017, the most recent one that passed addressed those issues. That was my understanding of it.
No, you got it partially right. You are right, there were two versions. The first version that passed was put in such a manner it was completely unworkable. Then the second version passed, but even with that, there was a question about transporting it. And so it still had that issue. Not as bad as the first bill was worthless. And you know, there were a couple legislators that, you know, kind of derailed it basically. But you know, now they've worked through the kink, so you know, it's my understanding now people who have epileptic children can get this. And it's been proven very effective in many cases. So.
And that was just a couple of months ago that they fixed that.
Yes. Right. So anyway, then the last issue I want to bring up has to do with, you know, just new developments in association with infrastructure or transportation. You know, vitally important, obviously, you know, to me, it's one of the key issues that we have to address is infrastructure funding. You know, Wisconsin, the state of our roads, we fall into second worst in the nation or fourth worst, depending on how you want to measure it. U.S. News and World Report said we're second, and I think the American Society for Engineers said we're the fourth worst. But either way, it's terrible. I mean, you know, to be competitive, you know, I'm a pro-business legislator as well, and to be competitive or long-term, you have to have strong infrastructure. And so, you know, now on one end of the spectrum, we're fortunate we were able to get funding because of the Foxconn development for, you know, the I-94 expansion, which is really very important. It's a terrible pain right now driving it, but when it's done, it's going to be fantastic for our region. And, but, you know, we're just trailing. We just do not have, you know, the funding mechanism to be able to fully fund our transportation and infrastructure needs. Now, closely related to this is the issue regarding, you know, our regional transit authority, you know, whether or not we allow for RTAs or not. And I know that there are many in a broad spectrum that feel like without an RTA, we're never going to really solve our transportation needs because they're interlinked between Racine and Kenosha and Milwaukee, and with our workforce needs, very vital that we're able to work through, you know, transporting people. And I know I've had several meetings, Senator Van Wongard and I have worked together on bringing together the county executives, Delgrave and Cruiser, looking at what we can do to solve workforce transportation. And we're exploring a number of options, everything from like those type of ride shares and those minivans to a whole range of different options. But I don't think you can have one county solve it themselves. There's got to be some sort of inter-county cooperation to make this effective. And so I introduced a bill last session to allow for an RTA again for Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee. But I'm open to any solution. It doesn't have to be that, but we do have to allow for inter-county, you know, cooperation to get this done, because you know we're not an island, and people are transporting themselves back and forth. So that's the other issue I would end on, just saying that we really need to dig deep on this, on both infrastructure and on the RTA, both. But funding of infrastructure is vitally important. We can't keep going the direction we're going. If we stay at our current levels, and bonding is the worst. We've gone over the last 8 years so that every time you pump your gas or you pay your $75 for your registration fee, it used to be that 11 cents out of every buck went for servicing the bonds. Now it's double, 22 cents. And if we continue down this path, it'll be well over a quarter, be close to 33 cents. I mean, obviously it's not sustainable to use all your money to just pay interest on your debt. You've got to fund it. And user fees generally are thought to be the most effective means of funding things of this sort. And one of the things that I strongly supported when I came back to the legislature was a constitutional amendment to not allow dipping into our transportation fund. So, you know, because I know that many people say, well, I won't do a user fee because it could be diverted elsewhere. Now it can't be. You know, it's going to be a constitutional violation. So I would really ask, you know, the county board to look at this, give us your recommendations, let us know in, you know, the next 2, 3, 4 months what you feel would be the best solution on both of these proposals. But it seems to me that this has to be some of our highest priorities, is infrastructure, regional transit, because for workforce needs, it's vitally important, you know, to solving our workforce concerns. And I know every major employer I talk to, and not just major employers, medium-sized employers, you know, Kevin Raffery owns a medium-sized company on the corner from me where I live, and, you know, he said, look, we're very worried. We're having a hard time. We lose somebody, we can't fill the slot. And so transit's a big part of that, transportation.
But when you say the roads, well, the two reports are the second worst or the fourth worst, can you get more information on that? What do they mean? Every road we have? Is it just in the north? Is it in the south? Is it in the west? Is it in the east? Is it central?
The way they look at it, the way they study this, is they look at your total portfolio roads. Mm-hmm. Then they look at what percentage of your roads are in, you know, adequate condition.
So they're looking at state roads.
Yes,
state roads.
This is statewide. Okay, statewide. So it's not just us. It's statewide.
When I drive, and I don't get too far up north, I drove from here to Milwaukee to Madison. From here to Milwaukee to Madison is under construction. That's mm-hmm. where the money's going.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm not quite sure, you know, where else you can spend the money when it's going into the three largest communities, if you will, already.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Green Bay would be more than Kenosha and Racine, but
our businesses here, they got to transport their goods to Minneapolis. They got to transport yep. their goods to
I'm not disagreeing
Green
with you. I'm just saying is the money is being spent. It just seems to be being spent in the largest areas. And maybe when we get through some of these programs, I mean, from 94 to, I mean, from, excuse me, the state line up to Milwaukee, my God, when's that going to end? And then you hear that people from Illinois, oh, there they go again. You know, mm-hmm. didn't they just do this? Well, so I understand the Foxconn thing, and mm-hmm. that's federal mostly, but or some of it, but you know, some of these dollars have to get to some other parts of the states if that's what we're going to get to. I don't disagree with that, but mm-hmm. we need to finish off these projects that are down
oh,
here
absolutely.
To free up these dollars yeah. to bring it up there. Just arbitrarily throwing more money at it because a study says it isn't there. Well, wait a minute, let's look at our priorities. I mean, even down here, they moved money before Foxconn from here up to the Milwaukee
Marquette.
Zoo, Marquette, yeah.
The zoo interchange.
So they took it from here and moved it
they
up
They took
there.
It from here, and the reason why they did that is because they literally had concrete falling off the bridges.
Right. I'm not saying that they, but that should have maybe been looked at before they started the other project. I mm-hmm. think there might be a little bit too much trying to do all at one time.
Well, no, I would have to differ with you there. That's not the issue, though. The issue isn't that it's putting one part of the state versus another part of the state. What this looks at is it looks at your total portfolio of roads, and it says how many bridges are inadequate, how many could potentially collapse. You look at your roads across the state, how many are in, you know, good condition, adequate, inadequate, seriously in need of repair, and they look at all of them. And it's a matter that ours, unfortunately, you know, comparatively are just that far, that much worse off. Now here's the thing, so I'll give you, you know, one solution. So, you know, so one thing that seems like the no-brainer to me is indexing. Mm-hmm. And they tried to finance to bring up indexing. And and not to make it accountable though, so finance committee would have to vote, so it would just be automatic. And but the votes weren't there to pass it. But if we would still have had indexing, we'd have $1 billion more in our road fund right now.
Indexing,
but we don't have
inflation.
It. Yeah, indexing to inflation, because if, as inflation goes up, it costs more to buy the materials and to pay the construction workers and fix it. And then, of course, you got the problem with more, not problem, but you have the scenario, more people are using more fuel-efficient cars, electric cars.
Right.
So as a consequence, you're not collecting as much
right.
gas tax you have. So another idea, somebody said, well, we should raise the gas tax in that. But then the debate comes, well, you know, then the governor's told me, hey, I will not do that because I want to save our taxpayers' money. Well, so that nickel you pay for, let's say for your gas would come to about $120 a year, you know, for the average driver driving 15,000 miles. But the American Society of Engineers says we spend over $500 a year in new struts, you know, front end alignments, tires, because of the poor conditions of our road. And I'll tell you, I drove back from Eau Claire about a year ago. I hit a pothole just outside of Poinette. I could hear the air coming out of my tire. Fortunately, I was near an accident to get off the highway. But you know what I mean? You're not only costing us more, it's penny wise, pound foolish, because you're costing us more money, but in addition to that, you're putting people in danger. And it just seems just, you know, foolhardy to me. So we have to find, you know, some solution. You know, I had appointed Marion Uranium, you know, before he came back in the mayorship, my first term when I was minority leader and be on this commission that the governor called for. They came up with 14 different ideas, but you know, none of them were advanced. And you know, so I'm a very open-minded guy. There's not just one way to solve a problem. But you got to solve the problem. You can't just let us continue on this pattern. So anyway.
You know, going back to the RTA, I grew up in high school in Chicago in the suburbs, and having the CTA, Chicago Transit Authority, went all the way out to Lincolnwood and Skokie and Morton Grove, all the outlying suburbs, which is great. Mm-hmm. And if you couldn't get on one of on the CTA, you can get on a Pace bus, and they interlinked.
Mm-hmm.
And having that interlinking 20 years ago, it's not a new process. You know,
right.
The process is there. How do we put it into here? Because you barely go through any cornfield from Kenosha to Racine and Racine to all the suburbs after that into Milwaukee. So we're in that same metropolis, if you want to call it, to where we need to start. I agree. We need to start looking at that that RTA, Regional Transit Authority, to be able to get even looking at Kenosha, folks from here that we complain about don't have jobs and aren't adding to our society, to be able to go work in Pleasant Prairie and to be able to go work in Mount Pleasant.
There's buses that roll through Lakeview Corporate Park throughout the day that are Kenosha buses. So do not tell me you don't have those buses going there.
Right, but
they
someone
there
from my district in Racine that wants to get to Lakeview Corporate Park, they can't get there.
I'm not saying it's perfect, what I'm saying is it's there. So if you need to link, that's just a one talking to another, isn't it?
Well, we're limiting ourselves to Kenosha residents. I mean,
yeah.
I could go from Skokie to the south side of Chicago
sure.
in an hour and a half,
talking
maybe,
about
you know.
And 8 million people.
Well, right, but we're looking at 2 or 3 million here, right? I mean, 2 million, 2.5.
Yeah,
you know, and we have,
yeah.
you know, we have, you know, the
okay.
people to fill these jobs.
We are talking east of 94. You're not going to get any support west of 94 for that. It's going to have to come from the cities. I'm not saying the county doesn't support it. I'm just, you're not going to get no one from the west. They're already getting down here.
Some, right,
you know,
and there's plenty of unemployment out in the county,
that's
too.
That's where it's going to have to come
right.
from, east of 94, because it's just not going to happen. John, you're west, aren't you? You're on Strawberry
I'm
Creek out there?
I'm east of the I.
You are east of the I,
yeah,
okay.
And I'm sort of straddle it there.
But even at that, when we have this new business coming in that's going to start with 3,000 new jobs, it's going to start growing.
Mm-hmm.
West of the eye.
What I'm saying is people west of the eye are used to getting in a car and going. That's not the case here. That
mm-hmm.
isn't always the case. I understand it. I completely appreciate the fact that they need to have ways to get where they're getting to. No problem at all. It's just, it's hard to ask these people west of the eye to pay for that when they're paying for the cars and paying for the gas and paying for the roads and paying for everything else, and they're never going to use that.
So. And while they're never going to use it, they're going to reap the benefit of that tax. You know, the tax from that business, they're going to reap the benefit to be able to repair the roads on the county.
Yeah, but again,
I don't have to. I mean, yeah, the money's there; it's already there. The budgets are there for years.
Really look at it. So otherwise, we're going to say, well, there's things that benefit the city.
And it's unfortunate that we have to keep talking about east and west when we're all benefiting as a whole.
West that benefit.
I agree with the chairman on this because I'll tell why I gave an important point here, though, because you know what some people in the city would say. Is okay, we pay for Highway MB. Mm-hmm. You have 100 people maybe going on Highway MB a year. Mm-hmm. You know, meanwhile, on Sharon Road, you got 1,000 people an hour on Sharon Road. So mm-hmm. why are we paying for these roads out there so poorly traveled? Goes to Gabe's point that, you know, so.
We have county roads here that we don't use.
Well, not much.
No.
But you got them.
Yeah, but they're much more
city
cars.
City
cars.
They're tearing up for Fox.
Yeah, but
city cars. But the point is, just going back to his point, you can't strictly look at it. Hey, we're going to just look at what benefits us.
No, I understand that. I'm saying this because that's where you've got to get to.
And I guess we would be looking at
it. I'm not disagreeing that. I'm just saying that's a hurdle you're going to have. And again, there's not that population is out there.
And I guess we'd be looking at you to help us to. Be
sure
that hurdle
that.
To
sure.
show to you know to be that
right.
binding point.
I understand, but I'm not the end all the know all either. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things also that we're having that people from the I place mm-hmm. to Madison to come and talk to us, maybe to bring this up, and they can help us out to work. You know, wherever it is to work together, whether we do mm-hmm. the city, the county, or the state, mm-hmm. we're all in this together, mm-hmm. where we can come up with some solution.
Well, that's where I think that we're seeing Kenosha corridor here. Is increasingly becoming interdependent. You know, I mean, you know, like you said, 3,000 jobs to start off. I mean, they'll be, I don't know if they'll get 13,000. I think they will, but minimum you're going to get 10,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a lot of people. And right now, it used to be that at least someone from Racine could get to Kenosha Racine because they linked at Parkside. And the bus is no longer linked there. And so we've got to work out linkages. You know, it's very important mm-hmm. is all my point is, you know.
What's the chances of the indexing or raising the gas tax coming up again this session as a possibility to resolve this issue?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a campaign issue probably because, you know, right now it's tough sledding. You know,
I
governor's been totally
the governor's
totally
against it. I thought you couldn't index by state law because the legislature has to vote to increase taxes. Whenever the taxes are
right now, you can't, but you can change the law. So you can go back.
Okay, so you're talking about changing the law,
yeah.
So then you can automatically. Okay, so
it
isn't just the one. It's
as proposed in the Finance Committee to go back to that system, only to add a little accountability. So the Finance Committee would vote for it. They're the ones that oversee, you know, the budgetary means in that. So it's not like it would just be automatic.
Yeah.
So that'd be a hybrid, like sort of a compromise in a way.
Yeah, because was it the leadership? Supporting it, Boss and Fitzgerald, weren't they
supporting
the idea of raising the gas tax as a possibility? I thought
Boss is supportive. He and I have talked about this a lot. Fitzgerald, not so much.
Mm. Okay, well, Peter, thank you. Well,
good, thank all of you. Nice to talk with all of you, and look forward to our next get together. In the meantime, let's all take some of these ideas forward. You know, digest them and. Analyze how we can work together.
Sounds good.
Thanks
again.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for meeting tonight.
Okay. Thank you for coming.
And the other thing is, does anybody want a copy of this here? You can send it to scan it and
not,
and send it to everybody in the committee and voting. Anything else that you guys want to bring up?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Move to adjourn by second by Supervisor Bird. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned. You guys have fun.